Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I decided early on that I would just get up here and say, no sermon today, Merry Christmas. But I guess maybe that wouldn't be a good Christmas present, seeing how it's not Christmas yet. So we're going to have a sermon. No, this is the fourth Sunday in the season of Advent, as I mentioned earlier. And it is still preparing ourselves for the celebration of Jesus' first coming, but more importantly, anticipation of his coming again. And in this season of preparation, we know that it goes well beyond just in this room on a Sunday morning or even at some of the services through the week. There's all kinds of preparations that are going on. I think there's a little bit of a temptation this year to put it off because, you know, sort of a little longer Christmas weekend. You know, a lot of people took Friday off, and then there was all day Saturday. And even today, you could still probably get some things done, you know, and say, put it off. Are you prepared with all that temptation to put it off? Are you fully prepared now to have people in your home or to go where you need to go? Are the presents wrapped? Is everything all ready? Are you prepared? We spent the last weeks of Advent here preparing ourselves as well. We prepared ourselves by recognizing that Jesus is coming again, and he will come again to bring with him salvation. We prepare ourselves by recognizing through repentance and confidence in our Savior's forgiveness that he comes to bring, and we prepare ourselves by proclaiming that good news that he is coming and he is coming again soon. And so now I ask you again, are you prepared? Are you alert? Are you ready? Are you all set? If Jesus were to come again in the next 5 minutes, would you be ready to lift up your head in joy, welcoming his return? Or would you think to the list of things that you didn't get done yet? Oh, I wish I had more time. Jesus, could you wait 5 minutes? Give me 10 minutes. I'll be ready then. I wonder if Mary was ready for what she would experience that day when the angel came to her. It's an interesting question. Surely she would have known the prophecies, and in fact, we see that in the words from her Magnificat. We see these words that Samuel uttered to King David. We see this concept of this king who would rule forever. But her name also is a little bit of an indicator. It comes from the Hebrew name Miriam, and it means bitter myrrh. Since most Jewish children were named for the circumstances in which they were born, it shows that she would have had an acute sense, an awareness of the bitter sufferings of her people over the centuries. And she would have longed for that coming of the Savior. She would have longed for him to come again and set up that eternal throne, that kingdom that would last forever. So much so that Luther speculates that Mary may even have been praying for the redemption of Israel when the angel came in very answer to her prayer. Now that's speculation, but you get the point. Mary and millions before her prayed for Jesus to come. And we continue to pray this day for Jesus to come again. But was she prepared for that redemption to come in her lifetime and more intimately in her life? This poor, humble handmaiden named for poverty and bitterness, living in the lowliest conditions. And then here comes the angel who hails her as royalty. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. The angel greeted her as if to say, and this is Luther's paraphrase, oh, Mary, you are so blessed. You have such a gracious God. No woman has ever lived on earth to whom God has shown such grace. So overwhelmed was she that Luke seems to indicate that Mary may not have even known that it was an angel at first. Or at the very least, she was so overcome by the heavenly messenger that she became almost disoriented and fearful. I mean, how could she be prepared for such dizzying circumstances? And if that wasn't amazing enough, the angel had amazing things to tell her. Gabriel announced that God was fulfilling a promise that reached back beyond the lifetime of her parents, beyond the lifetime of her grandparents, beyond the lifetime of old King David, beyond the lifetime of Moses, beyond the lifetime of Abraham, all the way back to her first parents and our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden after the fall into the sin, a promise of a Savior who would come to redeem his people. And here it was happening, and in her lifetime, in a very real way. This was the pivot point of all of human history, and Mary knew it. The Messiah was to be conceived in her, and was she prepared to experience the fulfillment of that promise? And in such a miraculous way, the child Jesus would come not through natural means, but the Holy Spirit, as the power of the Most High, would overshadow her. And this child would be a king like no other. You know, David's rule came to an end, and as Samuel said, his son Solomon would take over after him, but his reign would also come to an end, and yet the throne would be established forever through the Son of David, Jesus himself. She, this lowly handmaiden, would be the mother of the eternal king. She would be the mother of God. How do you prepare for that, being the mother of God? But let's go back to our original question. Are you prepared? After hearing what Mary experienced, do you feel like you could be prepared for that? Now, I grant you that none of us will have experienced or can even imagine what it must have been like for Mary that day as the angel Gabriel appeared to her, but there are a lot of similarities. I mean, you and I live a life of struggle as we struggle to let our light shine in this sin-darkened world. We long for deliverance on our best days, and sadly, on our worst days, don't even give it a thought. We pray, but are we prepared for God's answers? The scriptures greet us with great words. Scriptures greet us with words like royal priesthood, chosen nation, people of God. And of course, with those greetings come also lofty expectations of the sacrificial offering of our blessings, being set apart from the unbelieving world, living for the Savior, even as he lives in us. But are you and I prepared for such dizzying, difficult circumstances? We've been promised hope and healing and light and salvation and joy, but are we prepared to leave behind this world and joyfully go on to the world to come when Jesus himself comes again? Are you prepared? Do you believe? Saint Bernard of Clairvaux wrote that there are three miracles in this account of the Annunciation. The first is the incarnation itself, that God and man should be joined in this child. The second is that a mother conceives while yet a virgin. And the third is that Mary should have such faith as to believe that this mystery of the incarnation would be accomplished in her. And the thing is, the last of the three is certainly not the least. Luther put it this way. He said, "The virgin birth is a mere trifle for God. That God should become man is a greater miracle. But the most amazing of all is that this maiden should believe the announcement that she had been chosen to be the mother of God. Had she not believed, she could not have conceived." Let me put it another way. The greatest miracle in this account is that the Holy Spirit had already worked in her the faith to receive what was already being worked in her. I suppose one could argue that it wasn't exactly surprising news that a Savior was coming. Mary had heard that her entire life. We hear it our entire lives. It isn't really even news today. Most know about Jesus, and they know that we as Christians believe that Jesus is going to come again. The surprise was that the Savior was going to come to her. And the surprise is that in his grace, he comes to me and you. The surprise, for to us a son is born, to us a son is given. And this is perhaps the hardest point. Not to believe that he is the Son of God himself, but as to believe that this Son of God is yours. He's mine. And with him has come to you and me every good and perfect gift to prepare us for when he will come again. We can be prepared. And if you're not prepared, well, for what God has in store for you, just look at how the Savior has again and again been mindful of the lowly state of his servants, working all things for the good of those who love him. And if you're not feeling prepared to live and give for him with all that you have and all that you are, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Doubting your readiness and ability to face Jesus when he comes again, we can lift up our heads as the King of Glory comes in, because the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and the power of the Most High has overshadowed you through the waters of holy baptism, with the proclamation of his gospel, and with the offering of his holy supper. This very child of promise comes to us in that intimacy of hand and mouth. We internalize him, not in some biological and digestive function, but in a spiritual and miraculous strengthening through the promise, assurance, the fulfillment, that connection with his very body and blood. Therefore, Paul boldly declares, "You do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." And then he proclaims that glorious doxology. "Now to him who is able to establish you by the gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ." Are you prepared? In all joy and confidence, we can say with Mary, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you've said. Amen."